This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. We dedicate all to you, most holy and loving God, one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. For years now, and I don't know why, but around MLK Day, I'm haunted by that line from John's Gospel, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." It kind of rumbles around in my brain, and every year it happens. This year was no exception. Except that this year, I ran across another line that also rings true for me, that's a little bit of a twist on it, by W.S. Coffin, and it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you uncomfortable." Uncomfortable. Well, the speaking and the prophecy of human rights and human equality by the prophet, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., made many of us, many people, feel very uncomfortable. And it rocked our world because it was truth. He was a prophet in the midst, and who knew? And then who knew? Some of you might have felt the same way 2 weeks ago when Bishop Friday gave his sermon. If you were here, you'll remember it was the gospel about Jesus, the miracle of Jesus turning wine into water, and that if we want to be really, really good wine, we have to be willing to be crushed. To be crushed as grapes. Well, I didn't enjoy hearing that so much. I don't think any of us did. But there was something about it that rang true for us and made us uncomfortable as well. Before I go there, I have to take 1 second to tell a little story. Some of you have heard this before, so please excuse me if you have heard it. But it speaks about this idea of how it's not so easy to turn water into wine or grapes into wine. So in my former job, I was the presider one Sunday morning, and we were at the altar, and on this particular Sunday, it was being filmed and broadcast on the web, and we were right in the front, and we were all very noticeable. And in our tradition in the Episcopal Church, as you know, right before communion, we prepare the table, and then the priest who's presiding will go to the side, and the acolyte, or what we called in my former place of employment, the verger, would wash your hands before, and we say a prayer. It's a prayer of cleansing before we begin the Eucharistic feast. And so this day was no different, and I walked over to the acolyte, and I put my fingers out, and I began to say my prayers, and I opened my eyes, and the verger, by mistake, had picked up the cruet of wine, and so he was pouring wine over my fingers, and I was trying to keep a straight face, and he always kept a straight face, and he, under his breath, without missing a beat, said, "How did you do that?" I will never forget how quick he was. So then I still couldn't start laughing. It was hilarious, as if it was so easy, as if it could be so easy to change water into wine. But it's difficult. It's difficult. And Bishop Friday helped us see that in a very profound way. So right after that sermon, about 3 days after the sermon, there was a Facebook posting by our own Charles Milling. Most of you know him. And we're going to project it, and I'll read it out loud because it was very profound. And then in a moment, I'll also show you some responses that people made to that Facebook posting, and many of them came from you, but I've blocked out their names. So we'll go through those as well. So Charles Milling, January 23rd, near Delray Beach. "On Sunday, Bishop Friday preached on how we start out as grapes, destined to be fine wine. And in order to be fine wine, we must be willing to be crushed and ground up. It is so encouraging to be a part of a church that embraces the human experience in its litany of imperfections, double standards, and painful segues, and that doesn't give you some ridiculous solve-all biblical prescription for life's tough moments. Hell on earth is where we get our sense of humor and where we begin to understand each other. And for me, that's where heaven on earth begins. Many people clicked like, and then here are some of the comments. A poet and don't know it. Oh, yeah. Kiss, hug, kiss, hug, kiss, hug. Preach, Brother Charles. I hope you're doing excellent. Should have said Lee. The part about being patient was so meaningful to me. We can all be more patient. Beautifully said, Charles Milling. Yes, for true. You don't know how the fruit really is until it's squeezed. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. And a few more comments. Amen, brother. I think everyone thought he was talking about them. You can preach for me anytime, wrote a priest friend of his from another town. And Charles wrote back, no way, sir, when you preach, everyone is listening. And then I wrote, okay, so you're up, preacher man. I'd love to copy this Facebook page and project it at Unplugged. He didn't know I was going to do all the services. Message me if okay, lots of ideas, perfect for a gospel that day. O prophet in our midst. O prophet in our midst. Jesus was a prophet in the midst of his own hometown in our gospel today. Who does he think he is? Isn't that Joseph's son? That would be like Phyllis Edwards coming and saying what Jesus said on that day. And if you'll recall, it was his turn to be the reader. He got up in front of the temple, he unrolled the scroll, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," meaning himself. Right? He was telling them he was the Messiah, one of their very own, standing up and saying that. Isn't that Joseph's son? Is that not Joseph's son? Now, in our reading today, they don't seem so angry with him, except that when Jesus begins to give them this kind of confusing tongue-lashing, he goes through examples of how God was in the midst of people helping them for people that you would least expect. And he was helping people that were very different than them. Not only them, but people all over. And he gave several examples of that. And God was acting in the middle of their despair and in the middle of our despair in times when you don't see any light at the end of a tunnel. And told them that God acts when you least expect it, and that God plays no favorites. And it seems that it was that made them so angry, and so angry that they wanted to just push him off a cliff. I guess that's how they handled people who made them uncomfortable. But Jesus walked through in the midst of them. Who does he think he is? A prophet in our midst. They didn't recognize what this prophet speaking to them in the midst of, again, our litany of imperfections, double standards, and painful segues, to reiterate that phrase that Charles used in his Facebook post. Hell on earth is where we get our sense of humor and where we begin to understand each other. And that's where heaven on earth begins. In our understanding of one another. It's that love at our core of which we heard in our Corinthians reading, that pure love. After today's service, we will be, and throughout this service, we are honoring the elders in our community. And when we can realize our elders as prophets in our midst, perhaps we'll hear that wisdom and be with them in the midst of their woes and their sadnesses, their stories, and glean the prophets that they are. We share heaven on earth, and love is evident. When we can just be with someone having a hard time trying to figure out how to navigate this world, we share love. And when we realize that the gifts in this world are in our own backyard, right beneath our feet and within our hearts and within our souls and within our families and between and in relationships with those with whom we might have the most difficulty. When we see wisdom in the eyes of someone like a Darfurian grandmother whose journey we'd never be able to endure, we share love. Everyone's perspectives are different. And it's possible for us to shift ours too, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's painful. There are gifts and prophets in our midst. One quick story, and then I'm going to close. So I had the most wonderful health insurance for a while, and not only did it pay for chiropractic care for my lower back pain, but I received 2 massages a month, and it covered them. I mean, I had to go, so I went twice a month for these massages. And I got to know that massage therapist very well, and he was a consummate professional. He knew exactly what to do, and it helped very much. He was wonderful. Well, on one day, though, it was painful. And so I said, "Is it supposed to hurt?" And he took a deep breath, and he said, "Oh, so you perceive that it hurts." And I went, "Well, no joke, Sherlock, yeah, it hurts." And he just took another deep breath, and he said, "Take a deep breath and trust me." And I did, and that particular day, that massage later helped me so much more than any of the other massages I had had and at a depth that I hadn't had before. I know you don't want to hear the no pain, no gain speech. Neither do I. Let us pray. Oh, loving God, help us to realize that you know us, that you have known us even before you formed us in our mother's womb, that you love us and care for us and are there for us even in all the pain and messiness of our lives. Help us recognize the prophet in our midst so that we may come to know you in love for one another, as heaven on earth. In the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.